This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. Raise your game today. And John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions here with us. We've come to the end of our relearning listening series.
So now we got to talk about how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Week one, we talk about what is listening. Wow. You know, it was mind blowing. You know, you thought, hey, listening. Right. But I wasn't listening. Part two, the causes of ineffective listening, to be mindful of that. And last week, the benefits of intelligent listening. And we talked about mindfulness.
Right.
And how there is a difference between active listening and intelligent listening.
Right.
And active listening, the focus is still on the person that's attempting to listen.
Right.
Right. But no, to be mindful. Now, this week, we've got to spend a whole, you know, show on talking about how to listen intelligently.
Right.
Right. So now we're surrounded by information constantly. We're bombarded. You know, you listen to BFM. You know what I mean?
Right. or not.
Right. No, it's background noise. Right. Now, how can we focus on what's important and filter what's not?
All right. We're constantly filtering because, like we said in the first show, we're living now in the age of distraction. And our attention is constantly being pulled away from what we're trying to focus on. Estimates are that when you're on your job, you could be interrupted up to 6 times per hour. So it's very difficult to focus. Learning how to filter then is going to be a very important part of how to listen intelligently. Because we are, like you said, we've got information overload from many different channels. And nowadays it happens all the more. In fact, we're absorbed in our electronic devices even. It's becoming almost cliche to talk about how people go out to dinner and get absorbed in their devices rather than sit down and listen to each other.
Right.
And it's not just listening that suffers as a result of this information overload. Every one of our 4 communication skills is suffering now, and we're unlearning these things. Listening because there's a lack of attention. There's too much interruption. Reading because we're used to now getting our reading material in a very condensed form, which is why some of the smaller newspapers around town here have such a high circulation rate. People pick up things that are easy to read. Speaking, we're losing touch with what we say, and very often we'll send somebody a text or an email rather than confront somebody face to face because we don't want to talk anymore. And finally, in writing, our messages are abbreviated. It's hurting our writing skills. It's spilling over into email. The whole art of letter writing is gone.
Mm.
Huh? We don't do this anymore because we email.
Right.
Right. But because of the negative effects of everything else we do, even email suffers.
Right.
People look at email as a toy rather than as a communications tool. So we get the ineffective messages.
Gone are the Dear John letters.
Well, gone are the old love letters.
I know.
You know? I mean, you and I, we remember love letters. You used to write them. You used to get them. And it was an experience. It wasn't just the reading.
Yeah.
Because I would have these girlfriends who would send me love letters on nice stationery.
Right.
And they'd use their best penmanship. They'd write it on top of a ruler so that everything was straight, right? And then at the end, after they write, you know, I love you, then they'd put the lipstick on and then, you know, kiss the letter like that. So it's right there. You know where her mouth was. And just before it goes in the envelope, a little bit of perfume on there. So it was a whole sensory experience. And that, in fact, is what listening is supposed to be, is a complete sensory experience
right.
like this. But all of these things are kind of going by the wayside now. And we're just relying on quick and easy communication to get by.
Right. And I was just going to ask, right, how does poor listening affect interpersonal relationships? Gone are those letters.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially those. And I remember one time I went back to my dad's house in the United States where I kept a lot of my stuff, my old stuff. So I kept a lot of my old love letters. And I, you know, don't have them anymore. But to sit there and go through them and still see if they still had the, you know, the little magic scent, you know, still in there, it was kind of interesting to go through that back part of my life anymore. Because they're gone.
Mm.
They're gone. We don't do that anymore.
Okay. So now if we want to improve our own listening effectiveness, where do we begin?
All right, let's go through this now because this is going to kind of culminate what we've been talking about now. If you really want to be effective in intelligent listening, the question you ask, where do we begin? You have to begin with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to begin listening to yourself. We mentioned earlier that it's not the most cognitively intelligent people who become the best listeners, but rather it's the most emotionally intelligent people. We've been talking about empathy and how important that is in listening. Because if you are listening to yourself, you become more self-aware. And self-awareness is a very important part of listening, because as your self-awareness increases, you begin to see yourself as other people see you, mm-hmm. as a listener. And self-awareness increasing also increases your self-control, which also affects your willpower and your ability to listen rather than let your mind go off. And increase in self-awareness also leads to more introspection, mm-hmm. which informs or transforms our attitudes and our relationships the more we think about them. So listening to yourself is really how you have to begin if you want to become a more intelligent listener.
And when you say listening to yourself, and I guess it's a case of being reflective.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Self-awareness and reflection, very, very similar ideas.
All right. And before we go on, you know, first you got to listen to ourselves. And before we go on with this, we'll just take a little short breather. I'm here with John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions. It's Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
It's Raise Your Game. Good morning. This is Frida Liu, John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions in our Relearning Listening series. We're on to the final episode here on how to listen intelligently. And just earlier, we talked about how do we improve our listening effectiveness. And I asked, where do we begin? And one is with oneself,
right?
To reflect and to listen to ourselves.
Yep. Yeah. You have to become a little bit more internal. Listening, after all, is more of an internal skill. Mm-hmm. And you have external input coming in, but it's internal processing that's going to make you more effective. So beyond this idea of listening to yourself, the next step that we focus on now is listening to other people's conversations. Not being a busybody.
Okay.
But I kind of call this analytical eavesdropping. You know, it's a nicer term to use than being a busybody.
Right.
Watch other people as they have their conversations and listen if you can. Like if you're sitting in a coffee shop or something, pay attention to other people's conversations and watch the listener. Watch how the listener behaves. Watch how the listener responds. And measure the effect on their responses on the conversation. As the listener responds, how does that affect the speaker? Now, of course, in a coffee shop, the type of conversation that they're having is probably going to be just for rapport building. It's not going to be too deep or anything. But to be able to observe a deep conversation would be interesting to do. If you don't have, or if you feel a little bit funny about sitting in a coffee shop and watching other people talk, you can observe media conversations. Get on CNN, on these roundtable discussions, right, or something like that, and watch how people listen. Are people listening so they prepare themselves for a response, or are people actually listening so that they can process what they've just heard before they can intelligently respond to what's being put in?
And that's a tough one, you know what I mean? Because for example, what I'm doing right now, right? Mm-hmm. I am listening. And I'm also at the same time preparing for a response because I'm thinking of someone else who's listening in on our conversation, right? So what do you do?
We try to get away from the idea of preparing a response, because if you are preparing a response in your head, you are not totally focused on what the speaker is saying.
Right.
You can't be. Because you're thinking about what you're going to say next rather than what's being spoken to you in that particular moment. Listening and speaking require two completely different skill sets. Mm. So if you're going to be totally involved in listening, we have to be totally aware of the fact that we are implementing that skill set in that moment. And once we've absorbed what we've heard, then we can switch over to, okay, now, if I'm going to respond to this, how am I going to say this effectively? And that's why I said earlier that patience is an important part of listening, because sometimes it takes a little bit of time to process if we're having a deep conversation. And if we need a moment to stop and think about what we're going to say, we can't be rushing the other person on and say, well, you know, come on, say something. Well, I will say something, but I want to say the right thing.
Right.
But the idea behind listening to other people, or the idea of analytical eavesdropping here, is just so you can measure yourself against others. We've been talking about listening to yourself, but now you're actually measuring yourself against others. And when you observe the other listener, you can ask yourself, am I like that? Do I do that?
Yeah.
Because I can see how it's affecting the conversation over there, and I would not want the same thing to happen in a conversation of my own. So by measuring yourself against others, you can see areas that you need to improve. But these first two things here, listening to yourself and listening to your others, are steps to learn, again, what listening really is, to personalize it. But it's not really showing you yet what you have to do. So that's where we come into step three now, where we're going to get into actual listening practice. But the way to start this out is by practicing some very light listening, listening to your favorite music.
Okay.
Listening to your favorite music and listening to your not so favorite music, things that you wouldn't normally listen to. Listening to – this is cool. Listening to things like comedy records. They don't produce these much anymore. But back when I was younger, they had records out by Bill Cosby, George Carlin, Steve Martin, all of these great comedians. And they put records out that you can download, right? You can still get them. But to sit down and listen to these people, these comedians talking, and actually listen to the way that they are producing their language – rather than listening to the joke, listening to the language, or listening to the different aspects of the music, then your listening becomes much more discriminatory. Right? There's two kinds of listening that we look at. There's discriminatory listening and there's comprehensive listening. Discriminatory listening is kind of listening for sounds. What are those sounds? A bird in the forest or something like that. And sometimes these sounds will have meaning. Like when you leave your headlights on and open your car door, you get that little ding, ding, that chime. It tells you there's meaning behind that sound. So we're discriminating here as we listen to sounds. And we need to put that into our listening as well. What do these sounds mean? Why are they producing them this way? Why are they talking that way? What kind of a reaction does it have on me when he says it this way instead of that way? So now we're practicing listening, but it's light stuff.
You know, okay, let's just talk about music you like and music you don't, right?
Right.
Okay, so I've got, you know, U2, my favorite band.
Uh-huh.
And you can feel your whole body, your whole being involved in the music. And it's the words, it's the emotion. Okay, that's just me. But then again, you have certain music which you know there's a lot of emotion involved, but you just can't stand it. So, you know, like Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. He's like, you know, but I'm sure she means it wholeheartedly.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I guess a preference in music, I guess. But, you know, why is it that some just resonate, you know, and you can't say there isn't any emotion involved?
Well, okay, let's skip over Celine Dion. Let me give you another example. Let's go to the Italian operas, Verdi, people like that, where you have these sopranos who are singing at the top of their lungs, and you know that there's so much passion behind what they're saying.
Yeah.
And even though you don't understand the words, and the music is also very passionate, you can just feel it, and sometimes it brings you to tears.
Right,
did you see the movie, what was it, Philadelphia, with Tom Hanks?
No.
Tom Hanks is a lawyer in the movie Philadelphia, and he listens to opera, and he's explaining opera to someone who doesn't really understand it. And he's standing there holding his medical equipment as he's listening to this opera, and in the background, you see the passion on Tom Hanks' face, and in the background, you hear this music just surging, and you can feel the emotion in that. And this is something that we need to practice, is to feel the emotion behind it. So before we get into listening to each other or listening to another person, let's practice this in our own little private, you know, our private scene here. Listening to music, listening to comedy, being a little bit more discriminatory, and finding out what's behind what we're listening to.
Right.
And that's going to prepare us for step four, which is where we actually get into practicing mindful listening with other speakers. And here is where it becomes a little bit tougher, because here is where the bad habits are going to come up. All right. Now, we're not talking about mindful listening in the Zen sense, the meditative sense, but the complete concentration sense, the complete focus sense. Never mind the active listening. Active listening actually means acting like you're listening, right? But more of the absorption into the person that you're speaking with. And then all the other active things, the active motions and things will come naturally, because your complete awareness needs to be on that you are listening. This is what you are doing in that moment. And if you slip out, because your mind will wander, just like when you practice meditation, your mind will wander. Your guru tells you concentrate on that one word, but you can't do that for more than 5 minutes, right? So you're going to slip out. But then what you have to do is pull yourself back in. And when you slip out again, you pull yourself back in. And it's this constant repetition of pulling yourself back into the conversation, to the person who's speaking, that's going to increase your listening skills, as it would increase your ability to meditate, if that's what you're into here. It's the same kind of focus that you need when you go to watch a really, really good drama, a good movie. Because when you sit there, you're just absorbed by that. You watch what's going on screen. You try to follow everything so you don't miss anything. And what we need to do at this stage in our practice is we have to think of that person as our movie and to be totally absorbed exactly the same way. And once we reach that stage of absorption, then we're ready to listen for, this is step five now, to listen for congruency.
Right.
Now, congruency is a term that we use in geometry. You remember congruent angles? It means to be equal
or to be in agreement.
The things we don't need from our past anymore. Yeah. You should have been listening more effectively to your teacher, right? But what happens is now your speaker, the person you're listening to, is sending you messages three ways. We call this 3V, visually, vocally, and verbally, through the things they do, the way they say things, and the actual words they choose, visual, vocal, and verbal. And you need to be open, your senses need to be open to all of these signals. We do a lot of listening with our eyes, whether we know it or not. And once we open ourselves to all of these signals, we have to assess whether the person is using all of their signals to say the same thing at the same time. And if they are, then they're being congruent. Everything is in alignment. Everything is true. The words that they say, the body language, the facial expressions, the gestures, the posture, all are sending the same message at the same time. Because if something is out of alignment, then you as a listener know that there's something a little bit not quite right about what the speaker is giving you. Yeah. And you can use those cues in order to listen more effectively. Non-judgmental, of course, but to listen more effectively to see if you can try to figure out what it is that's out of alignment and what's perhaps causing that.
So these are the five steps.
These are the five steps. Quickly, listen to yourself. Listen to other people's conversations. Practice light listening through music and listening to comedy records, things like that. Then get into actual mindful listening with other people. And finally, listen for congruency by paying attention to all of the different things that you need.
Right. If you want to listen to what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks, do check out the podcast, John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions and Relearning Listening. And so we're going to do step three here. We're going to listen to some light listening at the moment. The Doobie Brothers, listen to the music. Race your game. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.